Radio voice engaged. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the BAM podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and here is our cheerful and professionally made audiovisual. That never gets old. And I'm here today with RPG legend Steve Kenson. How you doing, Steve?
Always a pleasure to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you. And we have a returning guest, Paul Vermeeren, who has recently published an Icons adjacent zine. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great, and I'm honored to be here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you, too. So let's dive right in, because, wow, we have five viewers. Six. Welcome to the show, folks. Feel free to comment in the comments. We'll put your questions up for Steve or Paul. Apologies. Dave's not here, man. Dan's not here. He had family issues, but let's get into it. So, Steve, what is new with the greatest superhero RPG on the market right now?
Well, gosh, let's see. The thing with Icons these days is primarily the Patreon. That has been my, you know, pretty much my go-to reason to continue producing content. There's nothing that sharpens the mind quite like a monthly deadline. So knowing that I need to turn out something for the Icons patrons who so kindly support it helps me to keep staying productive so far as that goes. Mm-hmm. So we're in our, we're 2 months into the second year of the Patreon. I started it in 2021 and did a full year of producing monthly content for it. We've done the first two articles of this year. And generally speaking, thank you. I appreciate your support. Generally speaking, the Patreon articles tend to run about 10 pages or so a month. It turns out that after a year's time, they make a pretty decent book when all is said and done.
Book you say?
Yes, I'm in the process, which has turned out to be a little longer than I had planned, of compiling the first year's content from the Patreon into Icons Annual Number One.
Nice.
Which is going to be basically that full year's worth of content plus some extra, you know, bits and bobs here and there. It is really just awaiting final print proofs to be approved for print on demand copies. Naturally, the very first print proofs turned up some mistakes, which of course is what proofs are for. But has slowed down the process just because print-on-demand production, like everything else, is running a little behind. So the process of submitting and getting proofs is pretty slow. I had hoped to have the annual out by now, but it's running a little behind because of that. That's entirely on me, but hopefully this current round will be clean. And I'll be able to hit the publish button, and folks will be able to order it in any of the various hardcover or softcover formats that DriveThruRPG offers, as well as getting the PDF copy. The patrons have already gotten the PDF, you know, since membership had its privileges.
And for those of you who are watching us, you're seeing a preview of that beautiful Dan Houser illustrated cover.
Yes, indeed.
For those of you listening on audio, sorry. we got some comments. Sean Vera chimes in, and Sean, always good to hear you and see you in the comments. Sean says, "Don't forget that Icons was released for Fantasy Grounds. I picked it up and the two add-ons."
Yeah, that is also some great Icons news. Is that Fantasy Grounds has finally released Icons products for their virtual tabletop. That is a goal of mine. You know, I've been wanting to be able to get some Icons content on VTT for a couple of years now, but Fantasy Grounds was able to work with a designer who was able to do the conversion work to get it up on their site. So I'm really excited to see it there. The one of the prime challenges with Icons is it's pretty much just a two-man show between me and Dan. So getting larger projects like VTT content put together, you know, definitely takes some farming out some assistance, you know, to get that accomplished.
Yeah, it's a whole other skill set for VTT. We got some
to be sure.
Yeah. I've got that link. Oh, that's an ugly link. I'll throw it in the show notes, because if I put that up in a banner, no one, it's like 26 character, all caps. So thanks for calling that out, Sean. If you go to the Fantasy Grounds website and do a search for Icons RPG, it comes up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And Chris Tavares, all around good guy, is also in the comments. And he says, I got my copy of Gridshock last week. Really nice work. Nice job meshing the generally silver agey icons with a post-apocalyptic setting.
Wow, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that that comment. It's really rewarding to see how people are reacting to these zines, and I especially like hearing what people are planning on doing with it. A lot of people have thought of some stuff that I did not think of, and that's very cool to see.
Oh, like what kind of thing?
I had one backer from the UK contact me. Maybe I should set up for a second. Gridshock is a post-apocalyptic superhero setting, but it is by default it takes place in North America, because not because I have anything against the rest of the world, but it's the, you know, write what you know kind of thing. I'm from the United States, so that's where I decided to set it. But anyway, I got a note from a backer in the UK who let me know that he was going to make, you know, he's basically going to create what the island of Great Britain is like in the Gridshock setting, which is something that I did not even mention at all. I didn't mention anything beyond North America. So I was really excited to see what he was thinking about doing with it. It's pretty cool.
I apologize for being a bad podcast host and not setting you up with an appropriate segue, but thanks.
That's
for
okay. For me. Yeah, I just threw it out there real quick.
Appreciate that. Yeah,
I think just the Gridshock aesthetic would actually go really well with a UK setting in the,
yes,
you know, sort of like, you know, 2000 AD style,
yes,
of, you know, those, yes, comics and the like.
Yeah. If you read the zines, it's the 2000 AD and heavy metal influences are pretty obvious, I think, along with a lot of other things. There's a lot of stuff in there. But yeah, the 2000 AD vibe is definitely there. And I think some of that British/European feel comes through because the artists,
yeah,
that worked on it are both from Europe. Well, one of them's from the UK and one of them's from Belgium. Mm-hmm. So it's got a little bit of that, you know, European or UK comics flavor to it.
Definitely. Yeah.
And for folks who are interested in checking it out, the banner below me has the link for drive-through for Gridshock. And I've also thrown it in the comments, although Facebook didn't like that and kicked it right back out. So do a search for Gridshock.
Thanks, Facebook.
Yeah, if you just search for Gridshock, it'll come up.
Yeah. Zuckerberg's been mad at me since I made fun of his haircut a few years ago. So I always have problems with him. So yeah, what can you do? What can you do? All right. So what is next for Gridshock? We've got four awesome. I was a Kickstarter backer, and now it's out for general release.
Right. So I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I got you on solo layouts. People can see you sharing those beautiful books.
Yeah. So the zines are, obviously, as you can see, they are printed out. They are done. They have been shipped out. You know, all of the Kickstarter stuff is basically over with. Kickstarter has delivered, I'm happy to say. That's all wrapped up. I've never had that feeling before because this is my first Kickstarter. I've learned a lot of things that I would do again and would not do again. But yeah, the PDFs have all been sent out to all the backers. The print copies have all been sent out. I have like 5 sets left over. So what's next? It's now on DriveThruRPG as a PDF. There are print copies that are available from Floating Chair, which is a online distributor, retailer. There will be print copies available from the well-known Exalted Funeral web store pretty soon. Those were mailed out. They received them. They just haven't gotten them up on the website yet. So it's available from a number of different people. As far as what is next, I'm kind of mulling that over. I'm kind of waiting to see if there's enough demand to do a second print run. There may be, there may not. I don't know. I'm also thinking about potentially doing more zines in this series. I've considered reaching out to people to see if they want to write for it, like if people want to make adventures for it, or if people want to make new little mini settings for it, like, you know, new parts of the world that I haven't talked about. And there's plenty of room in North America that I just glossed over. So there's lots of space in the setting for people to add new things. And I've also considered doing maybe like a book of adversaries, because there's a few, you know, bad guys in the zines, but I think that it would be nice to have maybe like a full zine of nothing but of villains, basically, for people to go up against. The question there is, not to put too fine a point on it, but art is expensive, and I'm very into having artwork of things. So if I'm going to have a zine that's all characters, I kind of need to have artwork for all of them, and that's going to require raising money. But anyway, those are all things I'm considering doing.
Villain books are expensive.
Yeah.
I feel you. I run my own small publishing house, and I spend way too much money on beautiful art. But it adds up after a bit. And that's
I spent a lot of money on art up front, and then the Kickstarter essentially just allowed me to make it back. But that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
The goal was to get it out there, and it's out there, and I'm very happy to have it out there.
It's a beautiful book. Sean Vera weighs in the comments saying, "There was just so much fun in zines. I love that format. It takes me back to my early gaming days in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I was bummed to see that Zine Quest was not happening in February this year. It's been pushed back to August for reasons.
Right. Mm-hmm. For reasons. Yeah, I'm not really sure what those are, but it was pushed back.
They said they wanted to coordinate with Gen Con, which didn't make a lot of sense to me, because why do you want to run it when everyone's at Gen Con spending their money? But, the ways of Kickstarter are strange and mysterious, not for mortal men to understand.
So. That's right. Ours is not to question why.
Yeah, indeed.
So, all right, cool. Did we just cover everything we had to cover in 15 minutes?
Well, I mean, I can talk about my thing all day if you really want to.
Yeah, we can keep talking. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, then do.
Actually, I did. I had some questions. You know, if you don't mind, Steve, I had some questions for you about this upcoming annual product. I will admit I'm a bad fan. I'm not a Patreon backer. I'm not a Patreon patron, I guess is the word for it. I probably ought to be, but I'm not one. So what sort of content can we expect to see in that? Is it going to be kind of like the stuff that we saw in Icons A to Z, for example?
It's somewhat like that, in that it's short articles, for the most part. The Patreon has definitely allowed me the opportunity to write a lot of miscellaneous stuff that wouldn't necessarily go in a specific book. For example, I got to do a write-up of the Tuatha De Danann Lu's pantheon. Of the Celtic deities that we sort of touch on in Icons Rogues with Balor and Brez and the Fomorians. There's Lu. The write-up of the Tuatha doesn't really go in a villain book. And I haven't really done an extended setting book. So it was, a thing that I had written a bunch of notes on, but I hadn't done anything with yet. And I was like, I'll write them up, because, I wanted to do more about, I had a whole, thoughts about, what if Jack Kirby basically did the Celtic gods, and played around with that. Or Earth Gamma, we got in the comments. I'm doing a bunch of write-ups on different alternate Earths that are also sort of Icons mini settings.
Very cool.
So Earth Gamma is a post-apocalyptic setting with, you know, mutants and, you know, radiation and whatnot. You know, I did Earth Lambda early on in the Kickstarter, which is an alternate Earth where the Stonewall Uprising in the 60s actually led to queer people developing superpowers. And so all of the people in this world who have superpowers are LGBTQ.
Wow, that's, you know, really cool.
And I've been playing around with various other, I just did one this year for the Patreon called Earth Psi. That's all a psionics themed world where all of the super people have mental powers and sort of represent this next stage of human evolution sort of element. And I'm playing around with a bunch of those. And unsurprisingly, basically, I've just taken all the letters of the Greek alphabet and I'm assigning themes to them.
That's really, that's really cool. I like the, sometimes you can come up with some really neat stuff if you give yourself just like a little project like that, where you're like, all right, let's do one for every, like you said, like every letter of the Greek alphabet. In a really early version of GridShock, when I was trying to make like my own bespoke system, I had something that was kind of like the old Marvel superheroes power ranks, and I named them all after Greek letters. And anyway, but that's a whole other story. Eventually, after goofing around with GridShock for 4 or 5 years and trying to make my own system, I was like, why am I trying to reinvent the wheel here? And Icons is a nice open game that was close to what I was going for. So I was like, I'm just going to use this.
Well, I'm really glad you did.
I'm glad that I was able to. So, you know, you made it an open system. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the various things like Icons A to Z and the Patreon and, you know, Parallel Earths, you know, all of that sort of stuff is just all of my way of tricking myself into being productive, basically. You know, of if I assign myself a bounded task, you know, that has specific parameters, like come up with 26 articles that fit all the letters of the alphabet. I can keep myself occupied for a while and reasonably productive without getting too overly distracted, and, you know, basically just losing my thread and not producing. So it's just,
there's a writer myself. who's cracked the code on productivity. That's I'm impressed, sir. I struggle with that every day. I didn't want to miss Sean Vera's comment. He just says, hey, if you're wanting to raise money for artwork with Kickstarter, personally, I've gone in for tiers with bonus artwork or add-ons with posters or prints. So a nice print of a cover could help recover cost of the artwork of the cover. So
That's pretty smart. Yeah, one thing that I learned in my Kickstarter, which had no stretch goals, was don't do that. You want stretch goals. Don't not do stretch goals. So it worked out, but if it would have been a little bit easier if I had those.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, because I've done both sides of it in my personal Kickstarters, and sometimes you want to have stretch goals, and then you finish and you're like, oh God, I have all these stretch goal content to create for the next several months. And you can load yourself up. And I don't know, with the last one I ran, I was like, all right, I've done all the things I can reasonably think of doing, and backers were like, we want more. Like, got nothing. Sorry, can't help
you. Sorry, go ahead.
No, please, sir.
I was gonna say, like, in this case, since I made four different zines, it really would have made sense for me to be like, okay, this is what the Kickstarter is for, is the first one, and start with a lower goal, you know? And then, you know, if I make more, you know, if I get more backers, then we add on more zines. That seems like a no-brainer, but it didn't occur to me at the time, so.
Oh, well. Yeah.
And it all worked out.
Ojin in the comments suggests that having BTT stretch goals and extras will get some art done.
I have seen more of that in recent Kickstarters. The trick with that is, like we said, BTT is a specific skill set. So make sure if you're including BTT stretch goals or BTT content at all in your Kickstarter, that you have budgeted very carefully how much that is going to cost you to do, and not just said, oh yeah, we'll just do it. Because it may turn out to be a lot more involved than it appears.
It's, we got real lucky with our Savage Worlds offering. we had some devoted fans who were like, hey, we'll do that for you. And then you can pay us with royalties. And we're like, yes, please. Thank you. Because we don't have those skills. And you're kind of dependent on having someone like that who wants to help you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I lucked out because my brother is a graphic designer. So that was a huge, huge help. And, you know, and I've gotten a lot of comments about people who are very impressed with the way that the zines came out looking.
Yeah,
and that is 80-90% my brother. I mean, I guess you could claim I was the art director. You know, I was giving directions on, you know, what I wanted it to look like, but it's all his doing and it's all his work.
And the zines really do look terrific. I mean,
thank you very much.
Really a big part of it, the appeal of zines is either that they're really very graphic intensive or just the opposite, you know, that they're just like, oh, somebody could have done this on a typewriter.
Yeah, no, I feel exactly the same way. I've got zines of, you know, of all kinds. And like, yeah, some of my favorite ones, in fact, one of the ones that like gave me an example of how I wanted to do this was pretty bare bones. It, you know, it was just two column text on a background, but I'm pretty happy with the way that the print quality came out. It's fun stuff. Thank you.
I need to follow up with my Kickstarter. I don't think I've downloaded those PDFs yet. So I always forget to do that stuff.
If for some reason, that's the thing with backing on PDFs. It's like, oh, I'll download that later. You know, and then don't download it. No, I get it. But yeah, by the way, if anybody did back it, including you, Mike, and you didn't get the download codes, please let me know. Because I've had a couple people come out of the woodwork and they're like, where's my download codes? And I was like, I didn't know you didn't receive them. Here you go.
Well, that's one of the other things with Kickstarter is that you will get backers who will show up literally like 2 years later being like, oh, I didn't get my thing.
Like, so
really
in my case, I actually wrote up like some guidelines on how that was going to work, where I was like, okay, at the end of the Kickstarter, if you back the print level, you know, I can give everybody PDF. That's easy. I've got everybody's email address. Right. Everybody's getting a PDF. That's fine. But if you back at the print level and I don't have a mailing address for you, I can't give you your print scenes. So it's like, you know, I did a month of just reminding people, please give me your address. Please give me your address. Please give me your address. At the end of that month, if I didn't get your address, then I refunded you the difference between the PDF and the print copy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, enjoy your PDF copy. I'm sorry. Yeah. best I can do. I'm sorry. So
yeah, it's you get caught up in the campaign and you're kind of sold. Then, you know, the sales pitch works. You're seduced. You want the thing. And then you kind of drift away.
Yeah.
So
it's been a year. You know, people's email addresses change, or people, you know, whatever. It's fine. But
yeah,
I don't want to hold on to the zines forever.
I understand. Sean Verwaysen saying, as someone in IT, VTT is its own skill set. However, offering tokens or maps for VTT can be generic, not tied to a single VTT.
True.
I love getting tokens pre-made, as that saves me time.
That's cool. That's cool. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'm starting to really enjoy saying VTT. And
right.
I'm going to work that in conversation with my wife later tonight.
Yeah. I mean, and tokens are, you know, relatively straightforward. They're just both time intensive and, frankly, kind of boring, you know, work to do, you know, because it's like, you know, stamping out, you know, like, okay, here's the next picture. It goes in this circle and make sure it's all centered right. Okay, we export that. Okay, here's the next, you know, I mean, it's piecework. So, you know, it's not super exciting.
I haven't messed with that myself, but damn it, we just keep doing that, Mike. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's I thought I lost you guys. Froze for a second, panicking and afraid that I lost you. And you just froze again. Are you guys still there?
I'm here. Good.
All right, cool. Weird. I'm getting it's the tachyons. They're muddying things up. So, Paul, did you have any more questions for Steve?
Questions? Not really. I've you know, been kind of unknowingly following Steve's design career for a long time. I was a big fan of the Marvel Superheroes adventure game, the card-based one.
Me too.
Yeah. I was a huge fan of that. Am I correct in saying that you worked a little bit on that, or am I wrong about that?
I worked on a couple of supplementary things for the game.
Right.
I play tested the game when it was in development at Wizards. And I wrote the Masters of Evil adventure for Avengers. A couple of short pieces for Reed Richards' Guide to Everything. And I did a lot of playtesting and development feedback where I would look at some supplementary stuff and be like, oh, this, you know, like, I think this guy's strength is too high. You know, I was like a consulting comic book nerd Mike used to say I was handy because he could say mandrill and I would go pheromones.
That's right. Yes. You know?
And yes. He's like, yes, you know, you know Marvel, so I could send you this stuff. And you'd go, that's wrong.
Right. Yeah. And you know, who's Mandrill's sister? Oh, well, that's Dekra. Right,
that's
yeah.
Dekra.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I can lay a dubious claim to play testing that game because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Wizards of the Coast was showing it off at a convention in Florida. And, I played it. It was a very early version of it. And I told them that they had, gotten Iron Fist's powers a little bit off. Mm-hmm. So I was playing Iron Fist, and I could just keep Iron Fisting all day. And at the time, he wasn't supposed to be able to do that. But anyway, I don't know where the heck I was going with that. But that's not really...
The Saga system was a terrific game, and it's just a pity that it sort of vanished into Wizards vaults.
Yeah.
And it's not in circulation anymore.
I've thought about trying to do like a retro clone type thing of it since you can, you know, you can print guards with drive-through cards.
That's true.
I'm like, well, one could do this if one wanted to. So,
yeah.
Some of the optional rules that I threw into Gridshock are kind of blatantly stolen from that game. So, yes, I'm sorry. I know that slipped out. I apologize for my phrasing there.
Mm-hmm. I was so proud of myself for not making that joke. And I was like, darn it, Mike, you're mature now. And some of the comments beat me to it. So,
right.
I realized that I made a terrible mistake.
If Kevin Smith finally got to make his Fisto joke for Masters of the Universe,
Yes.
You know, yes. I met him a few years ago.
Fisto?
Kevin Smith? Paul's answer is way better. Did that really leave an impression, Mike?
You know, he fisted hard, but he could not fist them all.
No, he tried. Yeah.
God damn it, guys. My charming anecdote about meeting him in a gift shop in the Niagara Falls is nothing compared to the improv humor you're throwing out. So.
Oh, man.
He's all a right. Very nice guy. He comes as advertised. Both Fisto and Kevin Smith.
Yeah, that's good to know. I'm impressed.
From what little what I've seen of Kevin Smith on the screen, he seems to come with very little artifice.
I would agree with that.
When I was just talking to him, it was like two geeks. You know, there's one persona, and all of a sudden, my clinic said, "Hey, can we get a picture?" And you could see his face kind of transform as he became Silent Bob, when he kind of pulled a Silent Bob face. But man, Jay was there. You don't realize how tall Jay is. Much like Fisto, until you're right next to him, and the proportion things are kind of alarming.
Sure.
But yeah, he's a very, very
got a lot of. Never mind. Sorry.
I took the Fisto joke too far. It was beautiful in its inception, and I went over the line. I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay.
So, all right, we've been talking now for 32 minutes, and I feel pretty good about this podcast. How are you guys feeling?
Yeah,
I feel great. I hope people will check out Gridshock, and I hope that people who haven't already will check out Icons. For my money, it's pound for pound probably the best pound for pound it's the best superhero game on the market. It's got the right balance of customizability without getting bogged down in minutiae. I really like it a lot.
It plays fast, it plays fun, and you can roll up characters and be playing in 15-20 minutes.
Yep.
right?
So there's almost no other game I can think of, especially in the superhero genre, where you can do that.
Right.
So, all right. Well, hey, let me play our high quality, artisanally handcrafted outro music. 1 second. All right. Paul, always a pleasure.
Yes.
Steve, always a pleasure. Thanks to everyone
Likewise.
In the comments. And please tell your friends about the show. And BAM Podcast has a Patreon because everyone does. You can find us there if you, or we're on Ko-fi. Just throw us your money. We appreciate it. And we will catch you next time on the BAM Podcast.